And we shall begin our reading at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the priests, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, and judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we just want to thank you that we who know thee have one to worship, one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. One who is more interested in us than we are in ourselves. One who has promised, when thou walkest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Holy One of Israel, the Lord thy God. We thank you that we can sing from the heart, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We thank you that we can sing. We don't need to fear the foe death. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? We praise you this morning. We rejoice in your sovereign mercy. We thank you for calling us to yourself, for making us your own. Now we ask for the ministry of the word, that as it goes forth, it will go forth with power and with blessing and with assurance. For we pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My subject title today is Tested Faith. We began this service this morning with a singing of the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Do you have that real assurance? Beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus is yours. That were he to call you today into eternity, that you'd be with the Lord. Tested faith. We know that we're God's children and not mere professors. Now Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were teenagers. They had been carried as captives into Babylon. How are they going to stand away from home? That's the subject. You see, it's one thing to be able to sing Blessed Assurance on a Sunday morning at Graham Bible Fellowship. How do you stand on Tuesday afternoon in temptation? How do you stand when everybody else bows down, but you don't? And you know my subject this morning. I only read 3 verses. The reason I only read 3 verses is time. We all know the story of the 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. But it was tested faith. Their faith was tested. Now let us get the background. In Daniel chapter 2, the king has a dream. In the dream he sees a great image, whose head was gold, chest and arms were silver, the belly and thighs were brass, the legs were of iron, and the feet of iron and clay. He had a great image. Nobody in Babylon could understand it or interpret it for him, but Daniel did. At the close of that interpretation, he said to the king, for it is God's order of empires that are going to reign during a period of time known as the times of the Gentiles. What are the times of the Gentiles? the times of the Gentiles or the times that aren't the Jews. God took Israel into captivity in Babylon because of their unbelief and the shift in world government was from the Jewish people with whom God had made a covenant at Mount Sinai to the Gentiles. And Babylon is represented in the head of gold. Medo-Persia is represented in the chest and arms of silver. The empire of Greece under Alexander the Great is represented in the belly and the thighs of brass. And the Roman Empire is represented in the legs of the image that were of iron. And the final part, which comes out of the Roman Empire, is the feet and toes of iron and clay. And the stone cut out of the mountain without hands smites the image at the feet. But Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art the head of gold." And I want to tell you, that must have been something. Of all the metals in the image, he's the best. He's not at the feet, he's at the top. His head is gold. Thou art that head of gold. In other words, the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar was seen here. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, when he heard the interpretation, he bowed before Daniel. And he acknowledged that God is Lord and he's able to reveal secrets. Now you must remember that God says he's going to bring all this to pass. He's ruler of the world. These empires are going to come one after another, which they did. Nebuchadnezzar confessed to Daniel, "Your God is a revealer of secrets." But then he makes a great image. He makes a great image 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now that's a pretty big image. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think it looked like? It looked like Nebuchadnezzar. You see, when we serve idols, we serve an extension of ourselves. That's what idolatry is. We serve an extension of ourselves. It's a very interesting thing to those who study Bible prophecy. The times of the Gentiles began with an image. And the times of the Gentiles will end with an image. And men will be commanded to worship it. Revelation chapter 13. And no one will be able to buy or sell except they receive the mark of that image. Now, these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their faith is tested. What do you do when everybody bows down and you don't? And you stick out like a sore thumb. Ever have a sore thumb? I remember the week before I went into ninth grade, my brother and I, we were helping a neighbor man, deliver wood, cut wood into a basement on New Street in Lebanon. And when I took a big piece of wood and threw it in the basement, my thumb got in the way between that piece of wood and the iron of the window of the basement, the iron frame. And I came out with the blood dripping and the nail just about off. It was hanging there. I looked at the man, I said, "This will never do." I grabbed it and tore it off. But anyway, I started school that year with a sore thumb. These three Hebrew children stuck out like a sore thumb. When everybody fell to their face, they stood upright. How were they able to stand? Well, God didn't give them that test when they were teenagers right away. But I want you to notice a number of things. They were able to stand because, number one, they excelled in three things. That's Daniel chapter 1. They excelled in three things. First of all, they excelled in purity. The scripture tells us in chapter 1, verse 4, they had no blemish. In other words, they were pure on the inside. Not only were they pure inwardly, but they were pure outwardly, practically. They purposed in their heart, according to chapter 1 and verse 8, not to defile themselves. Oh, here we are away from home. We're in the palace of the king of the greatest empire on earth. But they determined as young men, I'm not going to defile myself. Furthermore, being away from home, there's real evidence, friends, of what it means to be a child of God. I listened to Elizabeth Elliot this week on one particular day, and she sang a chorus that we used to sing when I was a teenager. Now, that goes back just about 5 years, but we used to sing, Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, all the, isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? He said, you know, we don't need to sing songs that tell God how much we love him. This is what Elizabeth Elliot said. She said, we don't need to sing songs and tell God how much we love him. Our Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. In Leviticus chapter 11, God had given Israel laws concerning what to eat. They were his people. And now they're in a place where, oh boy, I can eat what I like. Look at the good dainties that are before me. No, they were pure. They practiced purity. They were not only without blemish inwardly, but they purposed in their heart not to defile themselves. Furthermore, there was not only, they didn't only excel in purity, they excelled in dignity. Chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that they were young men who were able to stand in the king's presence. My, how wonderful to find a young man who's able to stand in the king's presence. The order of our day is just the opposite. They excelled in three things. More than that, they not only excelled in purity and in dignity, they excelled in intelligence. For after a test, they found that they were 10 times wiser than all the wise men of Babylon. My, they excelled in three things. But more than that, they exercised three things. They exercised three things. They exercised self-denial. Our Lord said in Luke 14, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. They exercised self-denial. Certain rich forbidden foods and certain wines which the king drank and were to be given to them. They said, we can do without that. And beloved, we can do without a lot that the world is offering today. Self-denial. Oh, you can do without many things without ever denying self. You can do without a lot without denying self. Our Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And when he said that, he gave three tests of discipleship. He says, there may be no rivals in your love for me. If any man hate not his father and mother, his brother, his sister, and his own self, for my sake, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? We have to put Christ ahead of everybody else, even yourself. No rivals. And then in the next test he gave, there may be no refusals. And in the next test he gave in Luke 14, there may be no retreats. And these three Hebrew children, they exercise, first of all, self-denial. Then, second, they exercise self-discipline. Self-discipline. And self-discipline, friends, is self-control. They were not afraid to say no to the desires of the body. They weren't afraid to say no. Furthermore, they said in chapter 1, verse 12, when they were offered all these dainty things, prove us for 10 days. Just give us vegetables to eat. Just give us a vegetable diet. Prove us. In other words, that's self-discipline. Our God says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And thereby you prove that the will of God is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. Prove thy servants 10 days, they said, and they learned that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Furthermore, they not only exercised self-denial, self-discipline, but they exercised self-sacrifice. In chapter 3, verse 17, they said to the king, when he said, what God is able to deliver you out of the fire? What God is able? They said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The God we serve is able, but if not, it's all right with us. Do you know what it cost the three Hebrew children? Ever think of it? You know what it cost them? It cost them what they were willing to give. Their body. Our Lord said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Who gets your body? The world? Who has your body? The world? I tell you who had the three Hebrew children's body. See, they exercised three things. Self-denial. Self-discipline. And self-sacrifice. They not only excelled in three things. They not only exercised three things. They experienced three things. They experienced three things. Well, first of all, what did they experience? Well, first of all, they experienced fire. What burned when the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace? The scripture says, in Daniel 3, they were thrown in bound, hand and foot. But when the king looked in, they were walking loose in the midst of the fire. What burned? The ropes that bound them. Oh, they experienced fire. What a blessing. But more than that, they experienced freedom. They were thrown in there bound, but they were walking free. And oh, we can say with another, they were, 325 tells us they were walking loose in the midst of the flames. Oh, there's no bondage so free and no freedom so blessed as that which results from obedience to Jesus Christ. They obeyed Him. What blessed freedom! They experienced fire. They experienced freedom. And then there was a third. They experienced fellowship. Fellowship. You see, when the king looked in, he saw a fourth person. There was a fourth person there. They were walking with the Son of God, and the king had to say, He is like unto the Son of God. Our Lord said in Isaiah chapter 43, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I tell you, here's a story from the Old Testament. Here are three young men, teenagers. They excelled in three things. They had a high standard. Furthermore, they exercised three things. Their Christianity, if I may use that expression, was not only lip service. You see, they exercised what they believed. And then, of course, they had an experience. They experienced three things. And the result was they experienced fire. They experienced freedom. They experienced fellowship. You know, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And the 8th verse says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, what is the outcome in the story? Well, let me say three things. You'd expect three, wouldn't you? Three things. Number one, God got the glory. Well, that should be first anyway. That's the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God. And from this passage, God got the glory. For in verse 28, the king had to say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God got the glory. Beloved, we're living in a day of man-centered activity that glorifies man rather than God. And our activity should continually be to glorify Him. God got the glory. Well, number two, the world got the message. Isn't that our activity in life? To get the gospel to the ends of the earth? And the world got the message. For when I read chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, I read this, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. The world got the message. The world got the message. Why? Because those three boys excelled in three things, exercised three things, and experienced three things. Has your faith ever been tested? Has it ever been tested to take a stand? But they excelled in one more, there's another outcome. Not only did God get the glory, not only did the world get the message, but they got the blessing. You see, they got promoted. Verse 30. They were promoted. You see, they didn't lose a thing by standing for God. They were promoted in the province of Babylon. They got a raise in pay. Can you imagine being hated by the king one minute, thrown into the fiery furnace, and coming out the next and saying, I'm going to give you a raise in pay. How does God work, friends? When we read Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 3, in that great prayer of the apostle, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in the angels. No, it's according to the power that worketh in us. These young men excelled in three things. That's where it all began. Can we believe God now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, not in the angels, not in the preacher, but in us? Has my faith been tested? Can I say from the heart, I am not simply merely a professor. I know whom I have believed. God called me. God saved me. God made me His own. My life has been changed. I'm in fellowship with Him. You see, these three men didn't have to compromise at all, did they? They might have stood out like a sore thumb. They didn't compromise, but they got the blessing. More than that, Satan always offers shortcuts. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, he said, "Now I'll give you one more chance. You either bow down or the fiery furnace." And he said, "We're not bowing." There's always an opportunity for a shortcut, and there are always excuses for doing it. There's always an excuse, but God calls us to remain faithful. Well, application number one. As we noticed this morning, the life of faith is a life of progression in righteousness. It begins with a new heart, which results in purity. They excelled in purity. That's where it begins. Has God given you a new heart? Furthermore, it's a progression in righteousness, for it ends with the glory of God and the blessing for the child of God. It did for these men. Now, the appeal of compromise may vary from age to age, but the genuine believer is firm in faith. So the question for us this morning, is my faith genuine? Do I have the real thing? Am I standing today, or am I compromising? That's the issue. There's no need for me to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." My need is to obey what His Word says. And that's where the child of God stands, beloved. And where we stand, we can say He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Again, I want to ask you a question. What did it cost these men? It cost them what they were willing to give. Their body. Let's pray together.